Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
Hello, I'm Chris Stamos, the host of Voices of Women. I'm excited that you are listening today as I'll be introducing you to some wonderful woman friends of mine. This weekend, I hope you take time to connect with a friend, reach out to someone in need of friendship who may be having a rough time. Holidays can be a hard time for some people. Brings up old family wounds that haven't been healed yet. You don't have to fix them, just be with them. Listen to them. Sharing time with them can be very healing. The best gift is giving of yourself and your time. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom and the conference, which is a unique experiential gathering, and we hope you'll join us this February in Seattle. I share with you these women leaders who will be at the conferences. I really want you to see what gifts you'll be receiving by attending this amazing event. It's different than other conferences. We create community. We connect with each other in a meaningful way, and everyone I know who has attended has made significant changes in their lives. Are you looking for change? Join us this February. It's February 17th to the 21st. And we are having a ridiculously low price of $270 for 4 days, and it's available only through December 15th. So give yourself a present for the holidays. And you can go to www.womenofwisdom.org to read about all the events. So I'd like to introduce you to my first guest today, Jennifer Sundstrom. Jennifer is an herbalist in the wise woman tradition and a spiritual seeker on the path of sound. She offers group and individual classes on various herbal topics in the greater Seattle area, supporting and encouraging people to bring wild plants into their lives for food and medicine. Jennifer's greatest healing has come from studying with her guru, Gina Salah, and discovering the amazingly powerful and subtle vibrations of giving voice. She regularly leads and participates in bhakti, devotional chanting, as the blissful path to celebrate the divine spirit that resides in all of us. And she will be leading a goddess chant workshop at the conference. You can view her website at seattleherbalist.com. Hello, Jennifer. Welcome to Voices of Women.
Thank you, Chris. What a delight it is to be here.
So how did you become an herbalist?
Well, I took a cheesemaking class. I was kind of interested in that end of the world. What happens if the world should end? Oh, I need to learn how to make cheese because I love cheese. And which is kind of silly when I say it out loud, but the woman who was offering this cheese class also had offerings in other herbal and plant type related stuff. And I found myself fascinated with wild edible plants. You mean what? This plant is edible and it grows right outside my door and I can eat it? Oh my gosh.
So give us an example. What do you eat that's outside your door?
Dandelion is my absolute favorite plant. All part of the plants are edible, flower, leaf, root. You know, the dandelion was considered so critical that the women on the Mayflower tucked the seeds in their pockets just to make sure they had this valuable food source in the New World. It's amazing.
And what nutrients do you get from dandelions?
Oh, it's a mineral powerhouse, very high in potassium, all those trace minerals, high in inulin. It also has a real affinity with our liver, so it supports and nourishes our liver in kind of a gentle way, you know, to help us process all those toxins we're exposed to every day. So it's wonderful as a vegetable. The flowers are delicious in a salad. It makes a beautiful tea. The leaves are edible. There's no wrong way to eat the dandelion.
Now, I heard that there are certain times of the season that you eat the root or you eat the leaves. Can you go into that some?
I kind of look at a plant like wherever the plant is putting its energy, that's where you want to harvest. So in the springtime when the plant is putting its, you know, its energy into the growth of the leaves, that's when you harvest the leaves. And then in the summertime, the late spring, it comes up with the flower, that's when you harvest the flower. You know, in the fall, when the plant, the leaves are kind of dying back and the plant is sending its energy down into the root to store for the winter, that's when you harvest the root. And so it does depend on what you're looking for, but I kind of use like Mother Nature as a guide. Where is this plant putting its energy? And that's what I want to harvest for.
And what do you use the root for? Do you make teas out of it? Do you cut it up and cook it in food? Or
absolutely. You can do all of the above. It's wonderful. You harvest the root and you can stir fry it as a vegetable, which is lovely. You can dry it in your oven and make a roasted root, grind it up and make it like a coffee substitute. People use it as a coffee substitute, although it's really, there's no caffeine in it. So it's add a little milk and it's delicious.
Wow. Okay. So I have to start pulling my dandelions out of my yard, huh?
If one person changed their perspective on dandelion and we've looked at that plant as a food source rather than a weed, how would it be if everyone harvested dandelions for food? How much less chemicals would we have to be dumping onto our land that ends up in our waterways? You know, that could change the world right there if we ate our dandelions instead of tried to kill them.
Yeah. Oh, I don't kill them. I don't use any poisons. I'll just pull them up. But I know, because I've taken your class, and I know I should be looking at this and going, eat this. So what other kind of plants do you harvest? What other great plants that people would be aware of that might be grown in their neighborhood?
There's so many. Plantain is another wonderful one that grows everywhere people grow. Plantain grows as well. It's also edible, and it's kind of the Band-Aid plant. That's another name for it. And so it's great for bee stings. It's great for nettle stings. Nettle is also another one. Urtica dioica, the stinging nettle, one of the most nourishing things on the planet, and it grows all over the world, all over the country. So another plant that we can really utilize, you know, for its nutritional value.
Yes, and I know nettles are supposed to be really good for osteoporosis. Susan,
they
we
are.
Talked about that. And
more nettle in a cup of nettle infusion than there is in a glass of milk, and very bioavailable to us. So nettle just nourishes all of our stressed out adrenals, and you know who in America does not have stressed out adrenals? You know, our kidney function. It's one of the most nourishing plants that I know.
You said put it in milk.
Oh, with a dandelion roasted root beverage. You know, you brew it up like a coffee, and I like to add a little milk to it. So
okay.
I think that's a fun way to drink roasted root dandelion with milk.
Okay. So let's move on to singing and chanting. How did you start singing?
Well, as I was doing a correspondence course with my teacher, Susan Weed, I was kind of looking for a more heart-opening experience to try to have that, you know, expand my own spirituality. And I went to the Folklife Festival, which is a festival here in Seattle about music, and I saw this person was leading this workshop called Sing Your Heart Awake. And I was like, oh, I'm wanting to have a heart-opening experience. That's me. And so I went to this workshop, and I was completely blown away. Gina got up and started doing her thing, and I was completely flabbergasted standing there in a room full of 75 people, trying not to cry my face off, never singing before in my life, and my left brain is going, wow, you really have an experience. And so I knew that I had to study with her. It was probably the biggest transformation in my life. 4 years ago, I would not have sung in public for any reason whatsoever. And now I lead bhakti chanting, kirtan chanting, where everyone's voice is welcome. And what I've come to learn in my studies with Gina is that I think all of us have some point in our life where we told we were a bad singer, you know, at some point in our youth, you know, don't sing too loud, sing very quietly, or whatever it is. And what I've learned is that the voice is so interconnected with the heart as to be the same thing. And so when someone criticizes our voice, it really hurts. You know, it hurts us down deep. And so my path now is to help people find that place of joy for singing, of running sacred sound through the body, and trying to put our judgments aside about whether it's good or bad, because every bird in the forest sings, not just the top 10 birds, everyone. And it's the beautiful tapestry of all of those voices together that is so beautiful.
Well, and you mentioned Gina Salah. I know she does. And do you do too, that Indian style singing?
Yes, Gina has an amazing voice. And I went to India with her a couple of years ago and studied the Indian style singing. I just want to give all props and praise to Gina. Has just been such an influence in my life to help me find gratitude and to help me find the power of my own voice. So the Indian style singing is very different than Western style singing. And I like singing in other cultures because kind of in American, when we sing in America, it's, you know, our English words, we kind of have an idea about how they're supposed to be formed in our mouth. When we sing, you know, row, row, row your boat, we know how that's supposed to sound. But when you're singing, you know, something in a totally different language and you don't know how your mouth is supposed to shape those words, then suddenly we have this ultimate freedom of not being constrained in a box. So I really like singing in other cultures and Indian style singing in other languages because it allows a freedom of not having to have expectations about what it's supposed to sound like. So it's really liberating in that aspect.
So for about 30 seconds, what I would love for you to do a short chant. We have about 30 seconds. And just do one of your chants, and maybe people can sing along to themselves.
This is a chant to Ganesha, who is that aspect of the divine that removes obstacles and grants boons. So if you had something in your life where you thought it was going to be a trouble, and suddenly grace came in and it was very easy, that aspect we call Ganesha. And it's Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha are the words. And I chant it every day. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Chant that. I chant it in traffic, and amazingly, all obstacles move away.
Oh, great. Do it one more time, and then we're going to have to move to a break. Just one more time.
Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha.
Thank you. So if you're in the Seattle area, you're welcome to join Jennifer. She does chanting on Wednesday nights. Just visit her website at seattleherbalist.com. You're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk to Miriam Dyack about reawakening your life purpose. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat! How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I have Miriam Dyack with us today. She's going to talk about Second Destiny. Miriam has been involved in social activism for women, peace, and the environment, and also political change since the late 1960s. She is the founder, co-founder of the Voice Dialogue Institute, where she teaches trainings and workshops in voice dialogue and the psychology of selves. She has a private practice as a counselor in Seattle, and she has published 3 books of poetry. For the past 5 years, she has been training in social artistry with Dr. Jean Houston. Welcome, Miriam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Now, I imagine many of our listeners are ready for a new beginning, and that's not very easy. So tell us about the concept of a second destiny.
Well, I've got this concept of a second destiny from Jean Houston, who talks about your second destiny being one that you choose freely as opposed to something that's kind of given to you. So she talks about getting to the point where your first destiny is kind of run out. It's kind of come to a natural end, or it just isn't taking you any further. And that's when you have an opportunity to choose a new destiny. And I love what she says about it. She says, a new destiny of considerable energy, intelligence, power, creativity, and even a higher order of usefulness in the world. And I'd add to that that for me, when I think about second destiny, it implies that you come to it with a certain amount of experience and skill and resources. So by the time we go for a second destiny, we've been on this planet a bit longer, and we have a clearer sense of what is ours to do and what isn't ours to do.
Yes, and I've definitely been on a second. Sometimes it feels like a third destiny. But I know that I brought my gifts and my skills of what I did in my first, 20 years, 15 years or so of my work experience. I brought that forward, not knowing how it would serve me in the future, but it has served me very well. So I imagine that would be, you know, for a lot of people, since we don't know those, what we're doing right now is really, can help us in the future launch to what our dreams are. I mean, I think when you think talking about second destiny, aren't we talking about what we can be passionate about, what our real dreams are?
Absolutely. And that doesn't mean that what you've done so far in your life wasn't already about your real dreams. This work, working with Second Destiny, is kind of discovering that there's a lot more to yourself, you know, kind of like those dreams where you're in a house and suddenly you discover new rooms that weren't there before. It's kind of like that it's still the core essence of who you are, but you start to realize that you could go in new directions that you haven't explored, and there's more possibilities than what you previously considered.
So is there a certain age that people go through this, or is it can be at any age?
You know, we actually now have billionaires in their 20s who already by their 30s are asking what's next, been there, done that. So what I'm seeing is that there's just a tremendous acceleration, and people are really living a lot more life in one lifetime than they used to. So I think that looking for a second destiny can really happen at any age. It doesn't matter whether you're 20 or you're 70 or something in between. I think there's always a way to start new, to rediscover or discover more of the possibilities of who you are.
So you've been a counselor for a long time. What holds people back from taking it? Because it can feel very risky, and doesn't it bring up a lot of fear for people?
Well, you know, I think that depends on how you go about it. Certainly the approach that I'm taking with Second Destiny isn't really, it's more about discovering what delights you,
where your joy is. I think what holds people back more often than not is just busyness, just distraction, too much to do, too much pressure, just, you know, the same old, and not taking the time out to meditate, to think, to look at this and open up the possibility. But I'm running into more of that than people who have actually encountered the potential for a second destiny and then got scared and ran away.
Yeah, well, I can totally relate to what you're saying because I get busy with, as you know, with a lot of details, and it keeps me, I mean, like, I have a huge, this is new, this radio show, and one of the things I need to be focusing on is developing sponsors and all sorts of things that will push me forward into my, well, actually would be my third destiny. But, you know, it's so easy to go back into the familiar. It's comfortable for me to stay in this doing detail mode of what the things have to be done by day to day and not get to that bigger picture. And so you mentioned a nice tool is meditation.
Mm-hmm.
What other advice do you give clients to help them find and move into that second destiny? Do you have any tools to give?
You know, I haven't focused on this particularly with clients so much. It's really, this is also a new destiny for me to begin taking some of Jean Houston's work and bringing it out there in the world. I've been very comfortable teaching the voice dialogue, which I know and is wonderful and really helps people learn about the different parts of themselves and reach a greater level of conscious choice about how to express the different parts of themselves. But Jean's work takes it further and in a different way, more imaginative, less problem-solving, and more creative. So this is new for me as well, and so I'm excited about being able to bring more of her, you know, what I've learned from her into the world.
Well, you mentioned a voice dialogue. Can you describe that? What does that look like?
Well, what that looks like is, and we'll definitely be using this in the Second Destiny workshop at Women of Wisdom, but voice dialogue has to do with really getting to know the different parts of who you are and also which parts you're missing. What have you just kind of rejected because you were on a track to, you know, to be really responsible, and so then maybe you don't know how to take a break, or you're on a track to take care of everybody and you don't know how to take care of yourself. So voice dialogue teaches you to be aware of these different parts and also how they live in your body and your energy field. What happens when you shift into these different parts of who you are, and how to consciously balance so that you're not just kind of taken over by one way of being and lose out on the rest of your potential. So we're going to use this specifically in this workshop to also discover what the obstacles are and what the gift is in those obstacles, and claim some of that energy you're missing so that you can meet that second destiny and not be scared of it. And you can sort of, you know, draw in power from the things that you think are challenging you. So it's a neat trick and really fun to do.
So can you share an exercise that could help our listeners towards making a step towards their second destiny, just something simple?
You know, what I would do, just a simple beginning, is to find a quiet spot and take out a notebook that you like and a favorite pen so that it's pleasurable for you to make some notes. And just start thinking back over your life. What has consistently been a joy for you? What have you always loved? And it's shown up weaving in and out of your life again and again. So maybe an example for one person is they've just always been a communicator. You know, back when they were a kid, they were good at helping other little kids talk with each other. And then they got good at that in their family, and they got good at it later on in school, and developed it into a career, and maybe some of the joy of it has gone out of their work. But discovering, what was the original thread that goes through your life that really sings to you? Oh, I love this. I'm good at this.
That's great. Yeah, I'm going to have to, but that's great for, that's a good starting place for people. And I want people to know Miriam's website is thevoicedialogueinstitute.org. She will be leading a workshop. It's also open to men. It'll be on Second Destiny at the Woman Wisdom Conference on February 20th. And she's giving away to the first three callers an audio 3D set called Exploring Your Inner Landscape, Voice Dialogue, Energy Awareness Exercises. So I want to thank you, Miriam, for being with us today. I'm Chris Stainis, and you are listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we will talk to Dr. Melody Ivory about unleashing your inner poet to heal your heart, mind, and body.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
You are a wondrous expression of God, Source, Spirit, Universe. How do you let this be fully realized in your everyday physical life? Oriella coaches and teaches people how to awaken their spiritual power. She also releases and replaces what is limiting and holding them back. Her no-nonsense, logical approach allows you to fully and easily understand how you can live life more fully, more abundantly, more powerfully by awakening to your spiritual power. For information, visit awakentoyourspiritualpower.com.
The average American spends $16 a day on food, and statistically, 2 out of 3 are considered overweight. With the Take Shape for Life program, you can not only shed those extra pounds on your way to living life at optimal health, you might be surprised to actually save money doing it. Talk to a Take Shape for Life certified health coach who's lost the extra pounds and listen to the passion in their voice and to the story of their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I have Dr. Melody Ivory with us today. And over the past 20 years, Dr. Ivory has combined her work as a performance poet with her computer science PhD and her own life experience to be a passionate champion of women. Her mission is to help women survivors of trauma to connect mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with their essential selves through inspirational poetry. And she found this to be a successful and life-altering experience for herself and others. She's the author of 6 books, including the recent series Composing Your Masterpiece Self, Symphony, and the poetry collection The Road M Traveled, Rising Above the Rubble of Trauma. She recently completed a Guinness World Records attempt for her show 40 by 40, an inspirational performance that raised funds to support free poetry healing workshops for 100 women in the greater Seattle area who have experienced violence and abuse. She will be performing her poetry at the Women of Wisdom Conference. So, hello, Melody.
Well, hello, Chris. Thank you so much for inviting me to spend this time with your guest today and yourself.
Yes. So you state poetry will help you develop a stronger sense of self, boost your confidence, and even release your negative emotions and energy. What led you to become a poet?
Absolutely. Because I was experiencing all those things, negative energy, pent-up emotions, low confidence. At the time, I was actually a graduate student working on my doctorate in computer science at UC Berkeley. Well, actually, I was in between my master's. I was completing my master's to go on to my doctorate. But as part of that, I needed to get my thesis signed off by my advisor and was unable to do that because as a master's student, I didn't have as much priority. And so I started writing poetry in response to the frustration I was experiencing, not just in that scenario, but throughout my whole life.
Well, how have you, and you perform your poetry. So is that a big aspect of it also?
It is, absolutely. So when you, I want to make a distinction between doing poetry in the way that people are used to, meaning you write it and you read it, versus performance poetry where you treat each poem as if it's a mini play. Sometimes I have props. Sometimes I sing. Sometimes I even bring other people into the process. Which is very much like if you were to go to the theater and see a whole show. I treat each poem that way. So what that means is I'm able to, not just myself, what I teach people in my poetry workshops as well, is to bring your whole self, your voice, your emotions, your body. If you know how to play an instrument, bring all of that into the mix to fully express yourself. And in that process, you're able to get more of an emotional release. You're able to let go of things that may have been bothering and plaguing you for a while just by expressing how you feel about it or how to resolve it through a poem. And the act of sharing that with other people and being heard and listened to is also very powerful. And have them respond and see their response, it boosts your confidence as well.
Yes, and it's like you're being witnessed.
You are being witnessed, for sure.
And that's healing.
It's very healing. And in fact, when I do these workshops with women survivors of violence and abuse, a lot of the poetry they write about is the lingering remains of that. Even if they're not in that situation, there's still some lingering confidence issues, anger, repression that they're able to open up and in this safe, supportive environment of performance poetry are able to release that and promote healing that for many of them has been years and years, maybe decades long overdue.
Oh, yes, definitely. And don't you think that healing, you need to get to those core issues. You really have to look hard at in yourself of you know, when you have been abused, because a lot of times we take it on ourselves as if we were responsible for that abuse and we're not. And so do you find that they are able to release that sense of shame and guilt and all that comes with that when they do their poetry?
Absolutely. What I do is I actually use my, Composing Your Masterpiece Self series to evoke poetry for them. So for instance, I may pick a piece that focuses on fears. And it asks them to imagine themselves in a particular situation and then
to examine a couple questions to get some insights about themselves that they wouldn't get otherwise. And in the process of that, I'd say now write a poem based on this. And so then it relates it back to their experience. They're able to release it and heal in the process as well. So there's a lot of other things that go on in my programs besides just writing the poetry. It really is a process of self-discovery as well.
So what do you think the most important thing here is? Writers, I mean, a lot of times you sit in front of a piece of paper and you think, I don't have anything to say. You know, that whole writer's block thing. It's not even writer's block. It's even more than that of value, that you have something of value to say. How do you work people through that?
Well, I start off by giving people a series of ground rules. And the number one rule is there is no rule for what poetry is supposed to or not supposed to look like. There is no formula. There is no rhythm that it has to. There's no rhyme. Because I help them to give themselves full license just the right. And I also go on to tell them that it's not about editing. It's about just letting things flow. You're not to critique it. And I give them a fixed amount of time to write. So, for instance, the first writing exercise may just be a minute. And what happens is they are able to see what they're able to produce in a minute without all those inner critics and self-consciousness. And they're amazed that they actually have something to say, and they can say it very poetically without even trying to.
So that's the writing part, and there's kind of a big jump to go to performing that.
Yes, and what I do for that is I begin to have them understand the difference between when you're reading a piece versus performing it. So I share my memorization techniques, and I'm always amazed at just sharing those techniques. It's the same ones that I used for my recent 40-poem performance, where I actually perform all the pieces from memory. But I'm able to teach them those techniques very quickly, and they can see the difference between, okay, if you were to read your poem and then you go and spend a few minutes to memorize it and you perform it, you know, just recite it without even going into performance mode, that really shifts it more towards performance. And then I actually teach them various performance techniques, like how to use their voice, how to use their full, you know, their physical body, and how to bring their emotions into it and connect with what they're saying. And then they get to see even that whole other next step of going from memorization to actually embodying the poem and performing it. And it's in the process they undergo a lot of transformation, because a lot of people, especially women who have dealt with abuse, have various issues with using their voice and their bodies and even expressing emotion.
So give us some tools that, you know, helping them with that memorizing, but performing and using their voices. What can you share with our audience of, because I'm sure there's lots of people, we use our voice every day.
We do.
So whether you're reciting a poem or just talking with a friend, you have an impact on people. So what can you share with people about that?
I would say in using your voice or your body, and even in memorization, the number one thing to do is to release stress and tension. And I take them through a very short exercise that I also use in my Five Keys of Success workshop. And what it is, bringing all five elements into the process of releasing stress. And it goes like this. You start by marching in place. And then as you march in place, you begin to breathe in deeply and exhale fully. And then you start imagining that you're breathing in ease and exhaling any stress and tension. And once you do that for a little bit, the next step is to take a sip of water. And as you're swallowing the water, imagining that it's washing whatever else is lingering away. Very simple stress reduction technique. Once that's done, you're in a better space to be able to memorize anything, or to use your voice or your body to perform. Now, speaking in particular about the voice, one of the things I tell them is to just vary it, you know, to go high, go low, to go fast or slow, and most importantly, focus on the nouns, not the verbs. We tend to emphasize the verbs, but we really need to emphasize the nouns.
Oh, that's interesting. So, and I know I was doing a dance thing with Simone LaDrama here in Seattle. We were just getting together to dance. And I said, oh, let's create our own dance to this music. And she, I can't remember that. And then we put words to it. And we even made a second, I can't do a second chorus. And putting movement to words really helps you remember.
For sure. And that's actually one of my memorization techniques is I tell them, as you read something you want to memorize, move with it. Walk in place. Walk down the street. Because just adding that motion helps with your memorization.
Yes, that's great. So you gave me a question, and I'm just curious about this. You asked, how has participating in past Women of Wisdom conferences influenced your poetry? So I'm curious what your answer is for that.
Well, I first went to the Women of Wisdom conference when I moved to Seattle, and I was so inspired and empowered. Just seeing, I think it was Deborah, I forgot her last name, but she was doing the touch drawings on the spot, expressing what was being said. And I was like, I want to one day perform at this event because all the women are so empowered. And I was like, I want to be like that. And so it gave a model for me for how to use my poetry as a form of advocacy and empowerment.
And here you are years later, you're going to perform. I didn't know that was
a
dream for you.
I'm excited about that. I can't tell you how excited I am.
Yeah. Well, I want people to know how to contact you. And Melody's website is www.melodyivory.com. She is giving the first three people who call in will receive Dr. Melody Ivory's poetry book, The Road M Traveled, Rising Above the Rubble of Trauma, Healing a Tortured Soul, and Being the Masterpiece I'm Meant to Be. So call 800-930-2819 and be the lucky person to get her book. This is Chris Stainis. We're going on a quick break. And when we return, Melody is going to share more about poetry, and she's going to read one of her poems, perform on the air one of her poems.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness, from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural for Pets, where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis. I have Dr. Melody Ivory here. So our last few minutes, we're going to have, Melody, we're going to have you perform one of your poems. But first, tell us, what led you to this 40-poem performance, this attempt to add a new record to the Guinness World Records? So there's not even been a poem performance record before.
No, the only record for the reciting, and just to clarify, the record is for the most poems recited from memory, and in particular by someone who wrote all of the pieces as well. Prior records are for memorizing literature books and being able to recite those from memory, but they don't have a record yet for someone who actually wrote all the poems and performed them all from memory as well. And it didn't start out that way, actually. It was somewhere down the road as I decided in between my 39th and 40th birthday to write, you know, poems to categorize that coming of age journey for myself. And at some point I said, you know, I actually could write all these pieces. And then I said, well, why don't I just perform them? So it was really like not planned in advance, and I hadn't even thought about a Guinness World Record attempt. But then when I got very close to this event, which happened on November 20th, 2010, a couple weeks ago, where it started in the evening, and at the end of the evening when I did the 40th poems, it was actually my birthday in St. Louis where I was born. And so the reason I decided to do this was really to stretch as an artist and also as an advocate, because I said, I want these poems and my work to fund poetry healing workshops for other women who have dealt with violence and trauma, which is actually my background. I dealt with a lot of that growing up. For instance, I had been abandoned by both of my parents by age 7, and also witnessed a lot of domestic violence with my mother as well, and it kind of followed me all the way through. And a lot of the poems chronicle lessons I've learned along the way about how to express myself and value my uniqueness, how to make my dreams come true, how to embrace the future and the uncertainty about it. And so it really was, there were a lot of things I wanted to accomplish with this 40-poem performance.
Well, that's quite an achievement. How long did it take you to memorize 40 poems?
Well, this is really funny. People would think, given I had been writing these pieces over the year, I would have started early, but I actually logged when I started. I started about 20 days before the performance with memorizing them, and sometimes I'd remember about 3 or 4 a day. Sometimes I remember 6 to 7 a day. It was really intense, and what really makes this interesting and challenging is that it's not just that I memorized the poems. I actually figured out how I wanted to perform them, which a lot of them I had musical instruments. I composed music. I even had background singers with me on a couple of the poems that had choruses to them, and just different props and the delivery. So it wasn't just the memorization. It was the whole performance, and all of that started just about 20 days or so before the performance.
Well, that's not a long time.
No. And here's the other thing that I tell people after the fact is I had a rehearsal 2 days before the show. If I had to do that show that day, it would not have happened. I couldn't remember most of the poems. I fumbled through the performances. It was just a disaster. But somehow 2 days later, and it wasn't because I was pushing myself for 2 days. I actually did not practice very much in between. I actually rested. And that's the beauty of when you are so connected with your work that you can embody it without even trying. And I was able to show up and just deliver a flawless performance that touched and moved everyone. And I remember people asking me in advance, how are you going to keep the audience engaged for so long? It's nearly 3 hours. How are you going to do that? Well, what I did is I brought them all along on the ride. There were pieces where they were singing, they were clapping. I even had them up dancing on one of the pieces called Dance With Me. And it was a very interactive performance.
Now, it sounds beautiful. So now I'd like to invite you to give our audience a poem.
I will. And the piece I'm going to share is one of my favorite pieces of the 40 poems I wrote. It's called The Impossible Possible. There's only one thing I want to see with these wide open eyes of mine. Only one thing I want to hold in these wide open hands of mine. Only one thing I want to feel in this wide open heart of mine. One thing, one thing, one thing. The impossible, possible. The magical unfolding of my unshakable dream, the coming into being of a far-fetched idea, an imagined reality in this very moment being as real can be. The impossible, possible. There's only one place I want to go in this journey of mine. Only one place I want to lie down this head of mine. Only one place I want to return to over and over again in this journey of mine. One place. One place. One place. The impossible possible. The magical unfolding of my unshakable dream. The coming into being of a far-fetched idea. An imagined reality in this very moment being as real can be. The impossible possible. There's only one thing I want to trust in this gut of mind. Only one thing I want to believe in this mind of mine. Only one thing I want to know in this spirit of mine. One thing. One thing. One thing. The impossible possible. The magical unfolding of my unshakable dream. The coming into being of a far-fetched idea. An imagined reality in this very moment. Being as real can be. The impossible. Possible. Soul food. Ready for us to consume.
Oh, that was beautiful. And I want the listeners to know there's still two poetry books. You can call 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819 and get Melody's book on poetry. So I want to thank my guests today, Jennifer Sundstrom, Marian Dyack, and Melody Ivory for talking with us today. They'll be sharing their gifts February 17th to the 21st in Seattle at the 19th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. You can read the full schedule, and you can register for any event individually. Go to womanofwisdom.org. And remember our special, $270 for the full weekend by December 15th. So I'd like to leave you with this thought today. Take time to sing, write a poem, be creative, and start something new that will bring you joy. And perhaps a second destiny. This is Chris Stainis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you'd like to contact me, go to wisewomanpublishing.com. I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. You can purchase the book at womanofwisdom.org. It benefits Women of Wisdom Organization, which is a nonprofit organization. You can sign up for their newsletter also at the website. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Voices of Women. Please join me every Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, Next week, I'll have more interesting women of wisdom on Voices of Women. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stamos. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stamos.